Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa. Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Ooh, yeah. Everybody wants a hero. Everybody needs a friend. Shoulder to lean on. Everybody needs a helping hand. Well, you ought to try Jesus. Said he's just a prayer away. See, he can make your burdens light, turn your midnight in the day.
Yeah.
He's so much more than a healer. When you're feeling kind of down, that is more than able. I know, I know he can turn your life around. Yeah, yeah, with more. Only Jesus, only Jesus.
More than a miracle.
More than a miracle. Change my life. Don't you know it made me right? Now I can do all things.
Jesus, I love you.
It if you try, yeah. Just remember, the power's not in you, but it's all in Jesus Christ. He can fight your every battle, oh Lord. He can win the fight. Just call him when you need a friend. Be his all in all the night. Oh, there ain't no secret what my God can do.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurtured is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Patrick Medlock. I kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Medlock, you are on the air.
Thank you, Danielle, and I bring you greetings from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, where it all comes together spiritually. Brother Bradshaw, I thank you again for the opportunity to be able to make this proclamation in this platform at this time every single week. And I think I speak for Brother Tucker and Brother Griffin and Brother Jones, who also you allow to share on this platform during the week, that we're just grateful not only just to be able to serve in general, but to be allowed by you and by this fine church and your sponsorship to be able to serve in this capacity especially. So thank you very much. Dear America, one of my friends wrote on Facebook recently. This is my son. His name is Tevin. He is a black boy, God willing, and will eventually be a black man. He does not deserve to die. He loves candy. So one day when he's older, he may get Skittles from the gas station. He loves to run and jump and play. So one day he may go for a jog through your neighborhood. He is curious and inquisitive. So one day you may spot him where he probably shouldn't be. He loves music. So one day he may sell his music or someone else's out of his car. He likes to play games on my phone and talk to his grandparents and friends. So one day he may be probably spotted carrying his own cell phone. He's cute and non-threatening at this age, but one day he will be taller, stronger, and maybe even more dark-skinned. He is not always obedient, and he's not a perfect person, so one day he may need to be restrained or even taken into custody. But he doesn't deserve to die. Please don't kill my son. Not because he looks suspicious. Not because he fits the description. Not because he might have a weapon. Not because he's not compliant as you'd like him to be. Please don't kill my son. He doesn't deserve to die. Sincerely, a black father in America. Those of you who are on Facebook or may actually frequent other social media platforms may have seen that post posted and then possibly reposted by one or more or many others. I don't have a son in which I can reference in this way. And my general tendency is not to repost and not to repeat things of this nature. However, given the times that we're in and given the circumstances that we're under, we need to continue to belabor the point that the police brutality that we're seeing is so unacceptable that if people are interested in a word from the Lord, then it's important that we be in a position as ministers of the gospel to provide some spiritual context to what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and what we're experiencing every day. Last week, I said that it's a mind thing, and I referenced Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Where in the Bible talks about, come, let us reason, wash you rather, make you clean. Then it says, come, let us reason together. If you obey and consent versus if you refuse and rebel, it's very clear that this is a mind thing. And the passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 really helps us see the context behind why the mind is the way it is, because the Bible says that God gave them over in the lust of their flesh to impurity. In verse 26, the Bible says God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And then verse 28, which is the passage that's most apropos to what we're seeing and hearing today. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. If you read in King James, it says reprobate mind, to do those things which are not proper. And then in verse 32, the Bible says, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? What does that tell you, brothers and sisters? And that is that ultimately we focus on crime and prejudice and police brutality and discrimination. But you got to understand that really all of this is an outgrowth of one thing and one thing only. And that one thing is not the skin color. Because the problem is not skin. The problem is sin. And you got to realize that we'll focus on the race, but we really need to focus on the fact that despite all of this, God is willing to give people who are protesting, as well as the people who are the anti-protesters, grace. And believe you me, our nation needs that grace, and we need that grace right now. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, brothers and sisters, that this is an age-old problem, and we're not going to see it go away anytime soon. I found, as I started doing some research actually tomorrow evening, the Spring Hill Road Church family is going to discuss, among other things, the question, are black people cursed? And I'm not sure how well they're doing their research, but I suspect someone will bring up what they call the curse of Ham. And they'll call it the curse of Ham because that's the way it's been portrayed. And I thought it was interesting because I ran across something that I'll share now. And that is that Fidel Castro once said that I was taught that one of the sons of Noah was punished by having black descendants. Somebody should check to see if this is today and if it's really proper for religion to teach that being black is a punishment of God. It goes to show you that years ago when Fidel Castro said this, he got it from somewhere. And it probably has some linkage as to why black people have been enslaved, they have been imprisoned, they've been lynched, because for whatever reason, people believe that we're less than equal to them for whatever reason and for to whatever extent. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, the reprobate mind, the depraved mind, the proliferation of sin is why we have what we have. And if you are to survive these days and times, you got to understand and you got to know that until people are ready and willing and able, and those are three very, very important qualities. People have to be ready. People have to be willing. And people have to be able. You got some people who can't stop hating. They can't stop being biased. They can't stop being prejudiced. They can't stop discriminating because they just aren't able to do it. And when I say they're not able, you got to put yourself in a position to learn what you need to learn so that you can do what you need to do. If you're not going to learn what you need to learn so you can do what you need to do, you're not going to be able. And so it's not saying that they have no capability, because God made us moral. God made us volitional. God made us with emotions. God made us relational. We can walk in peace and harmony, and we can have peace with our fellow man. Everybody has that capacity. But are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able to do it? I am a black father in America, even though I don't have a son. I have concerns about my own safety if I was ever stopped by the police, would I be shown the proper level of respect, or would I possibly have my life in danger because of some perception of who I am and who I'm not? I do know this, and that is that my strongest weapon that I have in my arsenal is prayer. And I want you to continue to pray. Come pray for this situation. So even if you're deciding to protest, pray before you protest, and then pray after you protest, and have the right attitude and have the right perspective when you go out there, because this is not exactly a skin problem. This is a sin problem. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the blessings you've given us. And I'm hoping and praying that as we've delivered our message today, that you've been pleased with what we've had to say and in the manner in which we've been able to say it. Continue to bless Grace Nurture as a ministry. Continue to bless Grace View as well as Spring Hill Road as a congregation. And Father, just help us to be able to advocate in the ways in which you need us to speak, so that those who are ruthless can know that they will be reproved. Those that are voiceless will have a voice through us. And those who indeed need to be advocated for, that they can know that not only do they have an advocate with us, because we are buoyed by the fact that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank you very much for doing everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.